Well, we're continuing in our message series called Let It Go. And this morning, we're going to wrap up this series with a message by our very own Pastor Dave. So without further ado, would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Dave?
Thanks, bro. Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, just want to say hi to all of you that are new here for the first time. As Todd just mentioned, my name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors around here, and I'd love to get to know you if you're new here. I'll be hanging out in the lobby after service. If you want to come talk story, let me know. So we're in a series called Let It Go, and I heard a story this week about a guy that was driving down the street, true story, and he saw this Mercedes in somebody's front yard for sale. There's a for sale sign on it. And it was a newer Mercedes, and he'd always wanted one, but he didn't think he could afford it. But he thought, why not? I'll just stop and see how much they're asking for this Mercedes. So he pulled over. He knocked on the door, spoke to the woman of the house. He said, how much are you selling this for? She said, $100. He's like, get out of here. She's like, no, I'm serious. I'm selling for $100. If you give me $100 right now, I'll hand over the title to you. And he's like, you serious? He's like, yeah. So he goes to his car, grabs his checkbook, writes a check for $100, hands it to her. She hands him to the title. She hands him the title. He sticks it in his pocket. He said, I'm just curious. Like, why are you selling it for $100? She said, well, you know, a few days ago, I found out that my husband ran away with my best friend. And he just texted me from Hawaii. And he told me to sell the car and send him the money. So I sold the car, and I'm going to send him the money. And we, you know, we hear that story and we're like, we laugh because we're like, yeah, she stuck it to him. Because our human response when somebody wrongs us or somebody else is this. Our human nature response is don't get mad, get even. That's our fleshly response. And yet this often has an opposite effect. You know, think about it. Deep down, we think this is the cure for bitterness, but actually the opposite is quite true. I want you to read aloud with me this verse from Job. So at all of our locations, say this with me. Job 18:4 says, you tear yourself to pieces in your anger. And man, can I relate to this? There are times I've gotten frustrated with people and they're like so irritating and annoying, or they so wronged me. And I think that me holding on to the offense, holding on to the grudge is going to get back at them, but it ends up harming me more than the person that wronged me. And the reality in life is that, you know, you just can't go through life without being mistreated. Somebody's going to wrong you at some point. Somebody may lie about you, talk stink about you, gossip, cut you off while you're driving. Some people break their promises. Some people deceive you. Some people even break their vows. And so life is going to be filled with mistreatment. Now, that's the point, is when you get angry, how do you handle it? Now, if we hold on to that anger for too long, it can affect us in three ways. Number one, it'll affect us physically. And doctors have talked about this for years, that holding on to resentment and mismanaged anger can cost us with illnesses, ulcers, high blood pressure. It can literally shave off years of your life if you hold on to a grudge. It also not only affects us physically, but it affects us emotionally. And holding on to anger makes us lose our joy. We don't have peace. We don't have happiness. And you've heard me say this before, but have you ever seen a really bitter person say this? You know, they're just filled with bitterness and they're going, man, this bitterness just has such a calming, joyful effect on me. No, because it steals our joy and our happiness and our peace. It not only affects us emotionally, but it also affects us spiritually. And the Bible's real clear. I want you to see what Jesus said to us when we're praying. So the next time you pray, here's what Jesus says to you and me. He says, whenever you stand praying, if you have any issue against anyone, what should you do? Forgive them. This is the Greek word aphiame, and it literally means you drop the issue. You need to let it go while you're praying. So Jesus says, don't wait till you feel like forgiving them. He doesn't say, just do it just because you want to do it. He says, no. You need to drop the issue because it affects you more than helps you. Now, when you drop it, you do that so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive who? You, me, our transgressions and our wrongdoings against him. and our sins against others. And so in other words, God says, hey, listen, you want me to forgive you? So by show of hands, all over locations, how many of you want God's forgiveness? Lift your hands up. You want God's forgiveness? Me too. I need it, right? He says, okay, you want it? Then you need to forgive others. You're like, I don't like that. He says, yeah, you need to drop it. I remember Lisa and I got one of the arguments that we had years ago. It was my fault. It's my bad. And so I went to her and I was like, I'm sorry. This is my fault. It's my bad. I said, will you please forgive me? She's all, yes, because I have to. God makes me. I laughed like you did. And I thought, but she makes a point. Now, God doesn't make you forgive somebody. It's actually your choice. But if you're a follower of Christ, he says, you need to forgive others or I'm not going to forgive you. Because God knows there's a high cost to holding on to unforgiveness. And so he wants us to drop it. And like I said, it means to literally let it go. Jesus said, listen, if you pray you have any resentment and bitterness with somebody, you need to drop it. How? By choosing to forgive them. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Well, Dave, I don't want to forgive them. And I can understand that. You say, Dave, it's hard to drop it. And that's totally understandable. I felt that same way. I mean, we rarely want to forgive people naturally. Human nature wants to hold on to hurt, wants to carry the grudge. I read this week where Leonardo da Vinci was in his art studio and he was painting a portrait of Christ. And so he allowed some children to come in to observe this master artist creating this beautiful portrait of Jesus. Well, one of the young children accidentally knocked over the easel. And Leonardo da Vinci got so mad. I was reading, they said that he angrily ushered the kids out of the room. He was so mad. And then, you know, picked up the portrait of Christ, and it was unfinished, and he sat down, and he went to paint the face of Christ, and he could no longer paint it. Why? Because he had anger residing in his heart that he had not properly processed. And I was reading that, and I thought, man, that's what anger does. It affects our potential if we don't properly process our offenses towards others. Anger is like a toxin, and it's like a cancer, and it just comes in, and it poisons us. It infects us. It infects our thinking. It stifles our creativity and productivity. And I heard it said this way, hatred corrodes the container that it resides in. And it sure does. And so we need to let it go. We need to drop it. But then our mind says, well, wait, they don't deserve it, Dave. They don't deserve my forgiveness. And you know what? You're probably right. They probably don't. But listen, you're not forgiving for their sake. You're forgiving for your sake so you can allow the toxins to come out of you. As long as you hold on to that hurt, that anger, that bitterness, it's not affecting them. It's infecting you. And so God says, no, let it go so you can experience more joy and freedom and peace. A lot of times people say, well, man, if I forgive them, and then it's like I'm endorsing what they did. It's like I'm excusing it and saying, it's okay what you did to me. And no, that's not what forgiveness is doing. Forgiveness isn't saying what they did to you was right. No. Forgiveness is simply helping you get the toxins out of you. When you forgive somebody, you're not doing them a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. Amen? Amen, amen, one of you in the back. All right. And you may think, well, Dave, but it's not fair to forgive them. And you know what? You're totally right. Forgiveness is rarely fair. Now, when I struggle with the whole, this isn't fair to forgive them, God, this is what I remember. That God has forgiven me of thousands of sins. Jesus went to the cross to pay for my sins, many sins, and he did nothing wrong. Was it fair for Jesus to step on the cross for my sins? No, it wasn't fair, but he still did. And he did it for you as well. And so sometimes we have to sit there and go, you know what? I'll never have to forgive that person as many times as God has had to forgive me. Now, when you're struggling with the, I don't want to let this go. Here's a verse that I've shared before, but man, this one can really help you let it go. Look at this verse here in Romans 12. It says, dear friends, never take what? Is anybody with me today? Let me know you're here, people. Show me some love by saying out loud. Dear friends, never take. Revenge. Excellent. Thank you. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Let God take revenge. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Does that verse encourage you like it encourages me? Yes. Some of you are like, I'm going to get that tattooed on my arm. And so you don't have to pay people back for what they've done wrong to you. Let God discipline and deal with those who have wronged you. Let God handle those who've hurt you. Let him handle those who've mistreated you. And that's what he's saying today. He says, just let me take that. I have way more resources than you do. And just choose to forgive them as I have forgiven you. Now, one of the reasons God wants us to drop the offense, to let it go, is this. It's because we get tempted to pick back up the offense. Like some of us today, we're going to let go of offense. We're going to choose to forgive somebody. We're going to feel good. We're going to go, whoo, all right, I'm feeling better. Weight lift off my shoulder. And then tomorrow when we see that jerk at work, or you know, we're driving home, somebody cuts us off, or that person irritates us at home, we're going to be like, pick it right back. I'm not going to forgive. What idiot was I to forgive you? Right? And we pick it back up. And here's how we pick it back up. Don't miss this. We start rehearsing what they did wrong to us. We start thinking about how annoying they are. We think about how unfair I have to do more work than they do, and they don't work as hard as I do, and how come they didn't follow through? And we think about how many times have I told you to pick up your dirty clothes and you're still not picking them up, right? And we rehearse and nurse the offense, and our anger starts to corrode, and the joy just goes shoo. Peace, phew. Happiness, phew. And so God knows. And sometimes people will really hold on to things. You know, they think and talk about the issue over and over. Every week they talk to their friend and they're like, can you believe what they did to me? And you're sitting there going, yeah, but that was 27 years ago. You know, like they're still talking about it like it just happened yesterday. You know? They're always thinking about it, talking about it, rehearsing it, nursing the offense. And when we do that, then we don't drop it. We hold on to it. And so I want to be really clear here. When God says drop it, he wants you to forgive instantly. But let me say this. But the process of working through the hurts and the offense and the depth of the mistreatment and abuse, that can take time. So forgiveness, dropping it, and working through the pain that they caused and the carnage that they caused, that can take time. So what I don't want you to hear is this. Hey, you just need to drop it and get over it already. What's wrong with you? And you're like, I was abused. That's what's wrong. I'm scarred. And so I want us to make sure we separate. Forgiveness, God says, to be instant. But people processing, getting healing, that can sometimes take years and years and years. What God is saying is this. He's saying, but don't keep reliving the hurt. Don't keep rehashing it. Work on getting healing, but don't keep holding on to it, reliving and blaming and staying angry and bitter towards others. Does that make sense? So we need to give people space to process. What I don't want you to do is this. Please don't do this, especially those of you who are married, okay? Or you're dating somebody. Don't do this, all right? So you hear this sermon. The main point is drop it, right? Don't do this, you know. This week, your loved one brings up an issue with you that happened, like, in the past. Don't be like, hello, where were you on Sunday? Drop it already. Oh, my gosh, get over it. What's wrong with you? Listen to Pastor Dave. The Holy says some good stuff sometimes. No, don't use that as ammunition, okay? People need space to process their hurts and their frustrations. And I know it's hard, but we have to fight getting defensive. Give them space to process it with you. And sometimes this is something that that's happened to me, is I've tried to let go of an offense towards a repeat offender, and I just couldn't let it go. And I'm a pastor, like, I know how damaging it is. I want to let it go. But this next verse, one day the Lord brought this verse to my mind, because I was trying to forgive somebody that had wronged me over and over, and I was just so frustrated with him, it was turning into resentment. And so this verse came to mind. It says this, James 5:16. So God said, Dave, therefore you need to confess your sins to one another. I'm like, I'm not the one that sinned. They're the one that sinned. He's like, well, Dave, your unforgiveness is a sin. You need to confess that to another believer, not just to me. Okay, God. So that, Dave, you can be what? Say it with me.
Healed.
So your heart can get some freedom and some restoration. And then, Dave, have them pray for you, because the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous person, another Christian, can accomplish much and can have tremendous power in your life. So in other words, God was saying this, and some of you need to catch this. Some of you are trying to let go of something. God's saying, I'm not going to let you let it go until you confess your anger and resentment to another and have them pray for you. And you're like, I don't want to do that. Neither did I. But man, once I let it out and I confessed my unforgiveness, oh, I finally could stop rehearsing and nursing the offenses that this person had done in my life and were still doing. It's like I could finally let it go. And so I want to encourage you to keep that in mind, because we want to give people space to process things. But catch this, once you've processed it, so you've dropped it, you've chosen to forgive, and you may still be processing the wounds and the hurts, but here's what we need to do with the unforgiveness. We need to not only drop it, say it with me, we need to bury it. Bury the offense. Bury the unforgiveness. Now, this is important, because it will come back up in your mind. You will think about it, and the enemy will tempt you to rehearse and relive and then just want to talk about it and become the victim. And we walk around with this victim mentality. And God's saying, no, 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 no. You need to take that grudge. You need to drop it. Let it go. And just dig a little grave for it today after church. Just go home. Just dig a little grave in the backyard. And you drop that offense in there, and you cover up that grave, and then you put up a sign that says, rest in peace. I'm not going to dig that up anymore. And when you're tempted to think about it, and you see that person, what you did to me was so wrong. You're just like, no, 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 I already had a funeral for that. I'm not going to dig up and exhume that, because it stinks. Folks, if you ever dig up something that's been dead and you hold it, how does it smell? Stink. It smells. And sometimes that's how we can be. I remember a few years ago, I came home from work and I got into my home clothes and I sat down at the dinner table, and one of my daughters said to me, man, something smells. And I was like, what does it smell like? I don't smell anything. She says, it smells like stinky feet. I was like, I don't smell anything. She's like, I think your feet are stinky, Dad. I'm like, my feet aren't stinky. It's probably your feet. She's like, no, Dad, seriously, my feet don't smell. She's like, just smell your feet. So I took a whiff of my feet, and I was like, whoa, I'm the one. And now, I know what some of you are doing. You're judging me right now because of my stink feet. I could feel your judgment, okay? And I just want to say, hey, no ever act like your feet never stink. This guy came up to me after service. He's like, oh, bro, my wife stink. My wife's, they feet stink plenty. He's like, and sometimes she still gives me a massage on my back, but I'm like, it's okay. It feels good even though you get stink feet. I was like, that's gross. Okay. Trying to get that image out of my mind. But here's the point, okay? There's a whole point to me telling you about my stink feet that day. Is sometimes we stink and we don't even know it. And we walk into work and we see that person at work that's so irritating, and we go and we talk to other people. I can't believe they did this, did that. And we stink up the office with our grumbling and complaining. And if we hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, we stink up our life. We stink up our mind with negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions. And so sometimes we just got to bury it. And we just got to say, you know what? I already had a funeral for that. When I'm tempted to think about previous offenses that I've forgiven, I've dropped, I just say, no, I've already forgiven that. I'm not going to rehearse and nurse what they did wrong. I've already forgiven it, just as God doesn't rehearse and nurse my offenses. Catch this. God has buried all of your sins. Can I get a good amen? Amen. All of them. He's not digging them up going, hey, remember when you lied? Remember when you fell asleep while Dave was preaching?
That was funny.
He's not. He doesn't do that. He says, listen, I was crucified and paid for all of your sins so you can stop crucifying yourself. I buried them once and for all. Some of you need to hear that. No shame. No guilt. I'm not focusing on it, so you don't need to, God says. But then God says this, now I'm not focusing on your sins, so you need to stop focusing on theirs. Like, you need to stop holding on to the unforgiveness so that you can be free. Now, sometimes we sit there and we go, well, okay, I get it, but I want to bury it, but I don't understand why this happened to me. Why was I abused? Why did they leave me? Why didn't I get that job? Why did I get fired? Why am I still single? Why do I have these health issues? And let me say this, it's very normal and natural and healthy to ask why. There's nothing wrong with asking why. And the book of Psalms shows us that we are to go to God and ask him why. God, why? And you allow him to see if he's going to tell you why. And times he'll reveal to you. Well, here's why. I didn't cause that. They sinned. I didn't make them sin, but they chose to not do my will, and that's why it happened. Or sometimes God says, I allowed you to go through that to prepare you for this. Oh. Or God says, I'm not going to tell you why. And that we really don't like, because we want to know why. Why did my loved one die? Like, why did God heal his dad when they prayed for him, but when we prayed for my dad with choke faith, God didn't heal my dad? Why, God? Why? Very legitimate question. God can handle your whys, but catch this. If he doesn't reveal to you why, then you need to drop the questions. And here's why. Because if you keep getting stuck on why is this happening, why did that happen, it can make you miserable trying to figure it out. And sometimes you'll come up with answers that they're not from God. Like, it can make you bitter towards God. God, why didn't you heal them? You know, somebody loses a loved one unexpectedly, and they can get bitter towards God for years and years and years and years. And so sometimes we need to let go of the questions. I'm going to show you a verse that actually talks about how we're not going to get all the answers to our whys this side of heaven. Take a look at Corinthians. It says this. Corinthians 13. Now we see things imperfectly. In other words, we have questions, but we don't get the answers. And it's like puzzling reflections in the mirror. We're like confused. Why, God? But then in heaven, we will see everything with perfect clarity. In other words, we're going to get answers to many of our questions. All that I know now is partial and complete. I don't have all the answers to why this happened. But then in heaven, I will know everything completely. You will know one day, just as God now knows me completely. So in heaven, folks, the good news is many of our questions will be answered. But until then, hear this. Free yourself by dropping the unanswered questions. Free yourself. The rest of this verse tells us how to free ourselves. Look at the very next verse. But for right now, until I get those answers, that completeness, here's the three things to do to lead us towards having that freedom, that consummation. Say it with me out loud, our locations. How do we let go of our questions? First, we need to trust steadily in God. We need to hope unswervingly. We need to love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. Folks, if you're having a hard time letting go of the questions, I understand. And let me tell you, I really understand, because a year and a half ago, my dad died unexpectedly. And we were the ones praying with tons of faith. I was shocked that he died. I had so much faith, I'm like, what? Because he got sick and for 9 days, and we were all like, oh, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. We prayed, he's going to be fine. I was stunned. And when I was on the airplane heading back to my dad's funeral, I was crying. I was so mad at God. I'm like, what? Why? What? I mean, you see my mom's health issues. She needs somebody to care for. Why did you take him home? You could have healed him. Why did you do that? And here's what God did. He answered me with a question. He said, Dave, have I been good to you? And I'm sitting there in the airplane chair, and I was like, yeah, you've been good to me. And I started thinking about all the good things God has done in my life, like forgiving me, just like so many things, jobs, and blessed me, and just helped me in thousands of ways. I was like, you've been so good to me. And then he said this, then trust in my goodness. That's all he said. He didn't tell me why he took my dad. He just said, am I good? Undeniably, you're good. You've done so many good things. He said, then trust in that. Trust in that. And at that moment, I was like, wow, yeah, I'm going to choose to trust him. Like, I don't like this. It's radically painful, but he is a good God. I do know that. I've experienced that for 2 decades since I started following him. And that moment, folks, all of my anger and resentment towards him just like flushed out of me. And I had joy, I had peace. I felt his comfort. I felt like he was sitting right next to me. It's like, flying with me back to my dad's funeral, you know? It was awesome. But I didn't feel that until I trusted him. So don't miss this, you guys, because you're going to have times where you're like, why, God, why? You got to come back to, you ask him, and if he doesn't tell you, okay, I'm going to choose to trust you. Does that make sense? Sorry, I get emotional. I was just like, wow, you know, like his comfort, God's comfort to me since my dad's loss has been extraordinary. I've just had to open my eyes to look for it. It just comes in so many unique ways. But when we don't get answers, I think what we need to do is this, is that sometimes we need to just have this I don't understand it file in our minds. And we just file it. Like, I don't understand why that happened, but I'm going to file it in I don't understand it, and I'm going to choose to trust God and hope in him and keep loving him and loving others. And one day in heaven, I'll have more answers. And in heaven, listen. In heaven, he has all of heaven to make it up to me. Let me tell you, when you get to heaven, you're going to be like, it's all good, man. It's all good. So I don't understand it file. You have to trust God, choose to accept what you cannot change. Change what you can change, accept what you cannot change. And so I want to encourage you, if you've been struggling with why and it's led to some anger and resentment, I encourage you to just drop the unanswered questions, because God wants to do a new thing in your life this year. Let me tell you about this couple, and I just think this really helps illustrate what we're talking about. There's a true story about a couple named Elizabeth and Frank Morris, and their 18-year-old son, Ted, was home for Christmas break for the holidays, and he was working part-time in this job to make some money before he was going to go back to college, and one night, Ted didn't come home. It was getting late. Elizabeth, his mom, was starting to get worried, and she got a phone call, and it was one of those phone calls no mom ever wants to get. And what she heard was that her son Ted had been hit by another car that was driven by a guy named Tommy. And Tommy had been at a party, he'd gotten drunk, and when Tommy was driving home, he blacked out, he passed out. His car jumped the median and hit Ted's car head on. The next morning, Ted died in the hospital. and the blood alcohol level for Tommy was 3 times the legal limit. 2 years later, the trial ended, and Tommy reached a plea bargain in which they allowed him to be freed on probation. So just stop and think about this. Put yourself in Elizabeth and Frank's shoes. These are the parents of Ted. Their son's killer just got freed on probation. Like, he's not even going to jail for the murder of their son. And Elizabeth, in her honesty, said now that Tommy's free, she said she started having revenge fantasies of how she was going to kill him. But Elizabeth had a problem. She was a Christian. And she was a recipient of God's forgiveness of her sins, God's grace. So Elizabeth did what the Psalms teach us. Don't miss this. Elizabeth took her pain to God and started to process her pain with God, her anger, her frustration, her questions. And one day she said, while I was praying, I realized that God lost his son, Jesus. He was innocently murdered, just like my son was. She said, when I realized that, I knew I had to forgive Tommy. Well, not much later, Tommy got drunk and he violated his parole agreement. And Tommy was then sentenced to 3 months in prison. And Elizabeth decided to visit Tommy. So she started going into the prison. And as she got to know Tommy, she learned that he came from a broken family and he struggled with alcoholism. And she told him, she said, I want to help you. I want to support you. Well, when he was released from prison after 3 months, Elizabeth and her husband Frank started to meet with Tommy. And they got to know him and befriend him and develop a relationship with him. And they started to tell him about Jesus and how Jesus had really helped them with their own struggles. And they started going to church. And one night, Tommy, Frank, and Elizabeth all went to church. And Frank baptized his son's killer. And I thought, wow, what a picture of how God can take something horrific and bring good out of it. Frank and Elizabeth got so close to Tommy that he called them for years, almost every day, until they passed away not too long ago. And they called Tommy their son. And I thought, that's the power of forgiving. That's the power of saying, God, you've forgiven me. I'm going to choose to drop what others have done. I'm going to let you handle it. I'm going to try to do good. And I'm going to invite you into my pain. I'm going to process that pain with you. I'm going to drop the forgiveness, but I will process my hurts with you and my struggles as long as I have to. And that's what they did. And God brought something beautiful out of it. And that's what God can do when you come to him with your pain. When you come to him with your hurts, your frustrations, your offenses. He promises for those who love him, Romans 8:28, he will extract some good out of it. He promises to bring good out of bad. What you've gone through, I'm sure it's been difficult. Whatever you're going through right now, you need to hear this. Don't miss this. God has an amazing future for you. God has so many good things. There's beauty for ashes coming. There's joy instead of mourning. God has great things, but he's telling us, move forward. It's time to drop the offense. Choose to forgive. Process with me. The pain, the hurt, the anger. But drop it. Move on. Have a funeral for the unforgiveness. Have a funeral for the offense. Let it rest in peace. And when you start thinking about it, you start praying, and I will help you keep it buried. Because God's saying to you today, don't miss this, I have new joy coming for you in 2019. I have new healing coming for you in 2019. I have new restoration with the broken pieces in your heart. I have new strength coming to you to help you. I have new friends, new self-confidence. I have new power coming your way. I have new wisdom and revelation coming to you. I am the great I am, God says, and I'm doing something new. So it's time to bury the past so I can resurrect your future and bring my power and divine life to you so you can have one of the best years you've ever had. Can I get a good amen to that? Let that be sealed to your heart. That's what he wants to do. Amen. Amen. So I want to lead us in a time of prayer. So all of our locations, if you could close your eyes, if you wouldn't mind bowing your heads. I'm going to ask God to just seal this to our hearts. And so if you would, please just bow your heads, close your eyes with me. And as your heads are bowed, I wanted to ask you this. Is there anybody that you need to forgive? Like, think about that. And some of you right away, you know of somebody. Others of you are like, I'm not really sure. So just ask God, God, is there anybody I'm holding on to a little bit or a lot of resentment towards? God may reveal to you this week that there's something, or there may be none, and that's great. But just, if there's anybody, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to drop it, to choose to forgive them. So I want to encourage you to pray a prayer to God in your mind. He can hear your thoughts. I want to encourage you to just say this to him if you're willing to drop it right now. Just say in your mind, just say, Jesus, I choose to forgive. And you tell him in your mind, the person, say, Lord, I'm dropping it and I'm leaving it with you. I'm going to let you handle those who've wronged me and hurt me. And God, I'm forgiving them as you have forgiven me of so many things. And now pray this. Pray, God, please remove any footholds the enemy has in my mind and heart from this anger, this hurt. Just pray, remove any footholds in my mind and heart. And bring healing to my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bring release right now, Father. All of our locations. Just minister to angry hearts, hurting hearts, mistreated people. See, what many of you sense right now is the peace of God. It's because you did what he's led you to do. And every time you choose to forgive, you can have this peace. You can sense this nearness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, bring healing to their hearts right now. Father, I pray for those who need to forgive themselves. Some of you right now, you need to just say, I choose to forgive myself in your mind. I choose to forgive myself, Lord, because you have forgiven me. And just let go of your guilt, let go of your regret, your shame. Just give it to him. Leave it with him. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your encouragement today. As you said, there's new blessings coming. There's new freedom. There's new relationships, new confidence, new wisdom, new miracles, new prosperity. Thank you, God. We want that. We need that. So, Lord, help us to go forward in this. With everybody's heads bowed, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, that is your next step. And if you've never begun a relationship, boy, he's here. He's knocking on the door of your heart. You can sense it right now. And so just let him in. You can just pray this prayer. And church family, let's all pray this together. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Bring healing. Bring freedom. Help me to not rehearse and nurse the offenses. Help me to walk in this freedom. Be my Lord, my Savior, my friend, and my Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's congratulate those who said yes to Jesus. Congratulations.